Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Sunday night, December the 9th. Talking about the movie The Golden Compass, of course, that is only the first in what was promised to be three installments based upon the trilogy by Philip Pullman, his Dark Materials. Philip Pullman has caused quite a stir. Even though the books apparently have been wildly popular in Great Britain and elsewhere, the United States heard about them only more recently, and then when the movie comes out, The Golden Compass, suddenly there are emails flying all over the place, Christians saying, this is one of the worst things to come down the pike in a long time. Don't watch the movie. Don't read the books. Well, will it live up to all the buzz, both positive and negative? We're talking about The Golden Compass tonight. Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer is our guest. Now, our email is down tonight. We can only respond to your phone calls. Our number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Listeners with the best questions or comments will get the book Dark Matter by Tony Watkins. 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer is Director of Admission at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of Questions and Answers about Philip Pullman's The Golden Compass. Scott, welcome back.
Hi.
You have written in the questions and answers piece that you did that the church, according to Pullman's books and the film, has as its defining characteristic not the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but rather the enforcement of moral rectitude. It struck me in reading that, Scott, that sadly, that's what many Christians mistakenly think the church is really all about, just enforcing morals.
No, you're right. And I wonder if, you know, I caught the taped interview of you at the beginning with, is it Tony Watkins?
Yes.
And you'd asked a question about whether or not he thought Pullman had had some sort of negative experience with the church or what might be sort of the origin of his antagonism. And I've wondered that myself. Perhaps his experience with Christianity is that it's just about being a well-mannered person, being polite, being moral, being moderate, nothing in excess. I mean, if that is the kind of Christianity that he, you know, has experienced, then I wouldn't blame him for a little bit of bitterness, because that is not what the church is about, is not simply about moral and legal enforcement.
What is the view of salvation, before we go to the phones, the view of salvation, if any, that is reflected in Pullman's skewed view of Christianity in the church?
Well, he's a good sort of rationalist, scientific materialist in the sense that he thinks that scientific investigation is going to eventually solve most of our problems, and that if people just were unfettered and were not intellectually harnessed by institutions such as the church or other forms of tyranny, as he might put it, then people will naturally sort of tend towards the good and doing good things. And so, I mean, he's very optimistic about human nature. And you see that in his elevation of science. And so I would say his view of salvation, if you will, is not something about that offers eternal life or forgiveness, not that at all, but rather that we should be very this world oriented, and how can we solve the problems of this world, and the kingdom of heaven should be us making this place, this planet, as fair and equitable and wholesome and merciful a place as possible.
In Santa Clara, California, Mark is listening on KFAX. Hi, Mark. Thanks for waiting.
It's Mark.
Mark, yes.
No, you said Mark. It's Mark with a K, like in kilowatts.
All right.
Yeah. Now, I've got 10 kids, and 8 of them are still home. And we know that this guy, his goal is to get our kids to believe in atheism, right?
Yes.
The guy who made this movie. Now, do you think, I've not seen the movie, but do you think it's okay to allow your kids to see that movie if you teach them the Bible every day?
Good question. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Santa Clara. What do you think, Scott?
Well, I mean, I went with my son. We went today. I don't have 10 kids. I have one, and I brought him with me. The movie you know, I think it's just very important for Christians to not treat every possible crisis as equally disastrous. You know, I mean, there are some things about which we should get very animated over. And there are going to be very many people who are going to watch this film, and they're going to see absolutely nothing in it that is objectionable. It does not contain nudity. It does not contain foul language. I think there's one or two instances where the Lord's name is taken in vain. There's some violence, but it's cartoon violence, and a lot of parents are comfortable with that. I mean, there is hints. I mean, for someone like myself who has read the books and who has studied this issue and has been thinking about these movies for the last three or four years, yeah, I can see every comment and see how it's foreshadowing something else. But I wouldn't personally feel that this is one of those issues where we really need to stand on our soapbox and shout to the masses. We have plenty of those, but I think this one is. Listen, it's not that good of a movie. It made about $9 million this weekend. $9 million on Friday. They were, you know, on its opening day. Which is really low. This movie costs something like $180 to $200 million to make. This
Ouch.
Is not going to do well. So if we don't make a tempest out of a teapot here, I think it's going to die of its own, and I highly doubt there's going to be any sequels.
Kent listens in Denver on KRKS. Hi, Kent.
Hey there. You know, I find it a synchronicity kind of moment because I just stepped out of that theater seeing the movie.
Oh, really? What did you think of it?
But, you know, I don't know anything about the books. I'd never read them. And my first inclination is just say it just totally is nothing compared to Narnia.
Yep, you're right.
And for the Christians out there, just bear this in mind. The little animal companions everyone in the movie has are called demons, and the witches are also the good people.
Right.
So,
and did you have a question, Kent?
No, I didn't. I just wanted to throw that out there and just, I don't know if I would recommend this to children. That's just my thoughts there.
Kent, thank you very much, and thanks for giving us a call. Okay, let's go into those details.
Yeah.
You mentioned before that there are witches, and you know now it's kind of standard affair to have witches in movies, but these little animal familiar spirits called demons, how concerned are you?
Yeah, I mean, those are definitely points of concern, and I mean, I don't disagree with that. I don't think this movie has no points of concern. The little spirit characters that they have that they call demons, to me, that's baffling. I don't know. I mean, to me, that's very distracting, in fact. It doesn't need to be called that. These are not supposed to be fallen angels. These are not supposed to be rebellious spirits. These are just supposed to be sort of an alter ego in the form of a talking animal that accompanies you everywhere. It's imaginative. It's fantastical. In another universe, maybe that could be conceptualized. It doesn't have to. Why does he call them demons? I mean, to me, that is just very distracting. So, yes, I see that point. And the other thing is with the witches. That's not accidental. In the universe of Pullman's novels, witches are persecuted by the church and are burned at the stake. Well, we do know that there have been some cases in history of witches being, women accused of witchcraft being killed or persecuted, and we would, I hope, not defend that. I think that there have been, and this is one of Pullman's errors, is he takes these isolated incidents, or maybe not isolated, but a relatively small number of incidents throughout 2,000 years of church history, and makes it sound as if that's all the Christian church has ever done is burn witches. Well, so I mean, there is a little bit of a snipe there by having the witches. They're minor characters. They're not major characters. They're minor characters, but they are the good guys. And one of the scenes that caught me is very interesting in the film. I didn't notice it from the story.
About 20 seconds.
Okay. Is that at the great battle at the end, the witches are the ones who save the day. They fly from out of the sky and save the day. In Tolkien, it's always the eagles that do that. He had eagles do that. And for Tolkien's world in Middle-earth, the eagles represented divine intervention, and I just wondered if Pullman was trying to be sort of the anti-Tolkien there.
Well, we know he's trying to be the anti-C.S. Lewis. He said that very clearly in interviews. Maybe there's more than one target in view. Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer is our guest, director of admission at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of Questions and Answers about Philip Pullman's The Golden Compass. That's our subject tonight, the Golden Compass movie and the book trilogy, His Dark Materials, upon which this first film, at least, is based. 1-800-730-2727 is our call-in number.
What we do in times like this is pay close attention and recognize in it God's alien work to drive us to Jesus.
Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, on what Christians should know during times of disaster.
We should rejoice over our relationship with Christ, over our relationship with our family. We should speak forgiveness to those whom we have sinned against and those who have sinned against us. We should be quick to think about eternal things and not the ridiculous things that ball us up and bog us down, which are necessary for life, but rejoice in the eternal verities which sustain us.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, go to the Issues Etc. website, issuesetc.org, or call 314-996-1683, LCMS World Relief.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. has its supporters.
I just want to say that I really like your show. It's really helped me. I'm currently in my preparation to enter Concordia Seminary, and this show, I think, has really helped me with my progress. So I just want to say thanks and keep it up.
We also have our share of detractors.
This message that you're sending out is not the message that God wants the people to hear. You don't have a clue as to what he wants. You are all sinners, and you shall rot for eternity for this. You people are insane. Just burn in hell.
That's exactly why we have the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. Agree or disagree with something you've heard? Call the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. The Issues Etc. listener comment line, available for your comments, positive and negative, 24/7, 314-505-7825. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live this Sunday night. The 9th of December, the Golden Compass movie opened on Friday. We're talking about it this Sunday night. We want to hear from you. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Listening here in St. Louis on KSIV. Hi, Janice.
Hi.
What's your question or comment, Janice?
I would like to know how to discuss my not wanting my 11-year-old to read the series of books.
So you want to discuss it with your 11-year-old, Janice?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. Best pastoral advice, Pastor Stiegemeyer, for a mother who's got this 11-year-old at home who wants to read Pullman's trilogy, His Dark Materials.
Well, there is a bit of a catch-22 here, because if we forbid an 11-year-old child is still pretty young, but if we have, as they grow a little older and become adolescents, and if we forbid them access to these books, we simply are doing what Pullman says the church does. The church in Pullman's world is simply about enforced ignorance. It is an organization that is fearful. It is an organization that is instills fear in others and does so through keeping people blind to reality. Now, I'm not going to be handing my son these books, but I actually would be concerned about making too strict of a law on this, because I think that human nature being what it is, I don't want children to be more drawn to this by our making such a, if we say that something is forbidden and really make a fuss over it, that's going to make it seem all that much more appealing. If the books are being taught in schools, and I know that they are in some public school, a lot of public schools, I don't know exactly how many options you have. You can speak to the teacher and express your concern as a parent, and I would hope that the teacher would be understanding and respectful and permit your child to have some sort of a substitute book to read. But again, you know, I do think that there are plenty of books that our children are reading in their public schools that are just as bad or worse. And by singling this out and making it sort of, if we make Philip Pullman a martyr, I don't know that we're helping the cause that much.
Here's my take, and this is really, I can only express this as an opinion. I concur with you. I've got a 12-year-old at home, and I'm not going to be handing him the books either. If he expressed an interest in it, said, I'd really like to read that trilogy, his Dark Materials, then I would probably say, fine, let me read it with you.
Yeah.
And if he wanted to read it by himself, didn't want Dad breathing over his shoulder, I'd say, fine, but let's talk about it. And tell me what you've seen, if you wanted to see the movie. Part of it is this, Scott, and tell me what you think. When I'm raising Christian children, I want to protect them from everything I can. That's a natural fatherly instinct. But also as their Christian father, I want them to know what kind of a world we're living in, and I want them to know that this is out there, and I want them to know that they have a response to this, even as children, that they have a response to this, and that the truth is on their side, and that they don't need to fear these kinds of things. What are your thoughts?
No, I'm with you 100% there. And for me, again, if my son wanted to read The Golden Compass, I wouldn't make a fuss. The other two books, I would get a little more concerned because, I mean, Pullman begins to bring in sexuality, even homosexuality. He has two homosexual angels, and I mean, it gets into some very bizarre stuff. So, I mean, this can be, you know, if we want to have the you know, the camel's nose starts to go into the tent, pretty soon you've got the whole camel in there. If someone reads the first book and they love it so much that they read the other two books, I'm not so sure I want my child to read about homosexuality in a positive light like that. On the other hand, I think you're absolutely correct. When they are mature enough, we have to educate our children, and that means exposing them to some rather unpleasant things and some things that are not true, not to confuse them, but in order to help them shore up their reasons for why they believe what they believe.
If Pullman had really wanted to strike a blow, one of the themes that I've heard from you when we talked earlier with Tony Watkins, from other reviews I've read of the books and of the movies, is that he just kind of gets too strident.
Yeah.
That he goes over the top and tries to, it's almost too much protest for what even people who are concerned about Christianity would think is warranted. Had he wanted to really strike a blow, could he have been more subtle in his criticism, in his insinuations about the church, and done more damage?
See, this is what I'm saying. I think that our children are consuming a lot of media that is not so explicitly anti-Christian, but yet has very significant worldview implications or theological implications. You know, I mean, from the television shows they watch to the commercials that they watch, the magazines that they read, the websites that they view, so on and on. I mean, the media, we are a media-saturated people, and our children are absorbing a lot of this. And assuming they're in school, in a public school, they may be reading textbooks which, you know, have all sorts of insinuations which begin to gradually. I mean, how is it that a rocky cliff is eventually worn down? It isn't usually with some single big blast. It's just that gradual wearing away. And I see a lot of that, and that concerns me, whereas Philip Pullman I can almost discount because he's so over the top, as you said, and he's so easy to spot. You know, I'm not all that worried about my son reading a book where it's obvious that the church is the enemy and God is the enemy, because, you know, he's going to recognize that as being wrong. Whereas there's a lot of other things that he may be exposed to which are going to be harder for him to discern, and that's actually more of a concern to me.
So the more subtle antagonism toward Christianity, and perhaps that which strikes more directly at the heart of what Christians believe, you mentioned before the Da Vinci Code,
right,
is of a deeper concern to you.
Yeah, exactly. And I got very, you know, I got very worked up over the Da Vinci Code. I was not at all a fan of that. And at that point, I was serving a congregation in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I had parishioners who were coming to me, and they were hearing these rumors, because that was far much more a cultural phenomenon than what Pullman will be in the United States. And, you know, so I had people coming to me expressing the views of Dan Brown, but they didn't even know it. They didn't even read the book. They heard it from their coworker who heard it from his mother or whatever. So, I mean, that was really beginning to get into the woof and weave of the conversations and gossip and of our people. This, I don't think, is going to have that effect. I think this is going to be a flash in the pan. The movie's not that good, as I said, and I think that other than a pretty impressive-looking polar bear fight, you know, you can never see too many polar bear fights. And, you know, I definitely enjoyed that 3 minutes. If the movie were 10 minutes long, I would have been satisfied. There was about 10 minutes of really entertaining action and, you know, mostly CGI, and the rest of it was slow and plodding.
With only a minute here, I guess it always raises the perennial concern, whether it's an atheist producing a movie or not, that Christians, that we are strangers in this culture and strangers in this world, and never really will be at home or completely welcome. Your thoughts with 30 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have to have this idea that we are the church militant, but we can't have this sense that we're sort of besieged, you know, that we're trapped, and we have to be, you know, there's a desperation that I sense sometimes in contemporary Christians that is unbecoming and really is unnecessary.
Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer is our guest. We're talking about the movie The Golden Compass, the book trilogy His Dark Materials by Philip Pullman. Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer has authored questions and answers about Philip Pullman's The Golden Compass, and we're ready to answer your questions and hear your comments on it as well. Have you seen the movie or read the books? We want to know what you think. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our email is down tonight. Sorry to say that, so we cannot take your email. If you've tried that way and are not getting a response, well, give us a call. 1-800-730-2727. More on The Golden Compass with Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer after this. Do you enjoy the history of World War II? Lutherans Against Hitler, The Untold Story is the Issues Etc. book of the month for December. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. 1-800-325-3040. That's 1-800-325-3040. You'll also find information at our website, issuesetc.org. Lutherans Against Hitler costs $42.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. book of the month for December, Lutherans Against Hitler.
When the fullness of time had come, a Christmas sermon preached by Todd Wilkin.
The most important event in your life didn't even happen in your lifetime. It happened 2,000 years ago, Jesus' perfect death for sinners at the cross.
And we'll send you a CD of this Christmas sermon for a tax-deductible year-end gift of $50 or more to Issues Etc. Donate today, issuesetc.org or 1-800-737-0172. Thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. as we approach the end of 2007.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again, talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, about the world's AIDS crisis. Matt, talk about how the AIDS crisis especially affects children.
Nearly 20% of AIDS deaths are children. Children who, through absolutely no ethical or moral fault of their own, have this curse upon them. And these are children where it's very easy to look upon them in pictures and say, well, they are those children. But then you meet them, each one of them, and you hear each one's name. And you talk to them about where they go to church and what they dream about and what they would like to have in their little lives. Something as simple as a chair, let alone a toy or a bed or somebody who loves them, and you can't but respond.
How is LCMS World Relief and the many who support it, how are they responding to this crisis?
Traditionally, we've done most of the response by way of education. That is, we've provided resources to our partners, many in Africa, but also AIDS in Thailand becomes an extreme challenge, and also in Russia, providing dollars so that pastors, church workers, health workers can be trained on AIDS. So education is very important, and we believe education is really key within a strong Lutheran context of law and gospel, and one that has a proper understanding of sexuality as God's gift, and the blessings that God gives us there, and the blessings of faithfulness and monogamy. So that has been important. We have, in the last several years, been very active with several orphanages in Kenya, and that has been just a wonderful joy. We just finished building a brand new orphanage that houses about 60 children. It's amazing. For about $30,000, we were able to build a complete orphanage. We just added to the Matango Orphanage in western Kenya an entire medical clinic for really very little money comparatively. And we're increasingly going in this direction, providing resources for congregations in Africa so they can deal with their own HIV/AIDS orphans.
LCMS World Relief offers Christ-centered, cross-focused help to victims of the world's AIDS crisis. For more information about LCMS World Relief, find them at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438. LCMS World Relief, concerned for both body and soul. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking about the Golden Compass film this Sunday night. Pastor Scott Stiegelmeyer is our guest. You know, Philip Pullman, the author of his Dark Materials trilogy, upon which that film is based, obviously mischaracterizes Christianity. Odd enough, many do the same with regard to Lutherans during the time of the Nazi regime. Our Issues Etc., Book of the Month for December, attempts to set the record straight. It's titled Lutherans Against Hitler, The Untold Story. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also order Lutherans Against Hitler by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Lutherans Against Hitler, it's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. Let's go back to the phones where Moses is waiting in Austin, Texas, and listens on KLGO. Hi, Moses.
Howdy. Can you hear me okay?
Sure can.
All righty. Well, I want to just get in and out and listen to the rest of the program, but just wanted to make a comment on Weta Workshop, who are the people that have done the special effects for Golden Compass, Lord of the Rings, and Chronicles of Narnia. All dazzling effects. I loved the Chronicles of Narnia as a child. I don't believe that they brought me closer to God, though. And really only Christianity has managed to do that. And when I think about kids reading the Bible or reading from scriptures and studying the scriptures, they, you know, 2,000 years ago and on up, those were very exciting stories for them, and I can appreciate allegory, you know, as it's contained in Chronicles of Narnia or Lord of the Rings, but not once do people call on the name of Jesus and seek God's guidance. Like, it's magic, sorcery, and just something other noteworthy. Hollywood was the type of wood selected for that magicians would typically use as their wand to bedazzle. And just to keep in mind that Satan's not going to necessarily always come for people's minds in a sort of manner. It's going to be really interesting and fascinating and intellectually satisfying and very intricate and beautiful.
Well, thank you very much. I couldn't agree with him more on the whole tactic of Satan coming, parading as an angel of light, not always spooky Halloween forms of Satan that Christians often misunderstand. He talked about special effects, Scott, and that a movie can't either harm or hurt you, and Christianity can't really be improved by the wizardry of Hollywood. Your thoughts?
No, that's. I mean, the gospel message is the gospel message, and it's through preaching about the cross of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit works faith in the hearts of men and women. But I think that something like the Chronicles of Narnia, the movie, as well as Lewis's books, can assist us in helping people understand the gospel. I don't know that someone's going to read the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by itself and understand the articles of the Christian faith. Nor do I think necessarily someone might read the book of Deuteronomy and understand. I mean, you know, I'm not comparing Lewis's book and saying it's scriptural. I just mean to say that I do think that sometimes artwork like that, and an allegory in particular, can help in our explanation of the faith. Jesus told stories to help sort of illuminate and illustrate, and I think that we can do the same thing, and I think the devil knows that, and he can utilize that also.
Ben's in Olathe, Kansas, listening on KCCV. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well.
Great. Well, I was just listening on the way home, and I just figured I would make a comment on the movie. I actually saw it last night. The only reason I really went was to kind of discern really kind of where it was actually pointing, I guess. Heard a lot of stories about it, and me and some friends went just to kind of see what the message was going to be, and the movie as a whole, as far as entertainment value, I would say the movie actually was not a very good movie in the first place. The fact is, I know it's supposed to be a trilogy, which really, I think the way they made it was to make people come back to see the other movies to get the full message, but they were very blatant on a lot of points of the fact that of the demons, actually everything was called a demon, the animals and things like that, to where I think since it's pointed towards children, they kind of catch the drift that it's a good thing to have a demon, that it's fun to have that companion with you. And I've read a lot of Peretti books about spirit guides and, you know, kind of studied that kind of thing. And I think that's really what it's pointing out, is kind of opening up the spirit world sort of towards children, to let them know that it's a good thing in their eyes, to kind of bring that kind of a view towards them through obviously subtle and fun ways. As the I heard Moses talking about the special effects and things like that, where it really draws the children in, kind of disguising a lot of things, but in the same way blatantly putting out what they're talking about. And I was really looking for the point where the children were looking to kill God in the end and things like that. And I could definitely see the fact that they were trying to make the it doesn't really blatantly say who the bad people are in the movie, but it definitely points, you know, me just knowing the ending, I guess, what I've heard, that the Christianity of the people, they're trying to, I don't know how you would put it, but they're trying to break the curse of the demons with the children, and that's supposedly the evil thing to do. So I just think that I think it's a terrible movie for children. That's for sure. It's definitely putting a lot of ideas in their heads early on that certain things are right that are obviously wrong, and making it playful, acting as though, you know, the disguise that it's not a big deal, it's just a movie, where I could see the really the killing effect of it. And the only good thing, in my view, is that it was a terrible movie in the first place, so hopefully people won't go see any more.
All right, Ben, thank you very much. You had spoken before, Scott, about how you thought the calling these familiar spirits that are talking animals in the film is just darn confusing. Philip Pullman, I don't think, has any expressed any affinity for the occult.
No,
but do you think he has an agenda there?
That's exactly what I was going to say, Todd, is that, you know, Philip Pullman, I think, would be, you know, would be livid if he thought people were walking out of the theater thinking that, you know, his object was to open people up to the occult or to evil. He doesn't believe any of that stuff. So I think that he's a materialist. So that's why it's just very distracting. He's not writing about demons as we as Christians understand it. He's using the word demon. Why, I can't quite understand. But what these little animal creatures are, they're not fallen angels. They're not rebellious spirits as we understand demons to be from the scriptures. They're simply sort of alter egos. They're you know, I don't even. It's like your conscience or something. You know how Pinocchio had Jiminy Cricket who sat on. Jiminy Cricket was Pinocchio's conscience.
It's Davy and Goliath.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The talking dog who keeps Davy out of trouble.
Right. It's Calvin and Hobbes.
Okay, then why would a... And he is a materialist. He's quite clear about it in the interviews I've read with him. Right. Why would Pullman, even in a fantasy world, if he wants to make the case of scientific materialism, which he seems to want to do, why would he bring in things like the spirit world, demons, separations of souls from bodies, all this kind of stuff that isn't supposed to exist in his real worldview?
Yeah, well, you see, that's why I think that, you know, his stories are really far more complex. I don't, you know, he doesn't believe there is such a thing as the soul, and he doesn't believe there is such a thing as the afterlife. He thinks all of that's just a fairy tale. And what I think he would probably define these, what he calls demons, but I think what he would just, how he would explain that is that's just the creative human spirit. That's what that represents. That little animal being is not, some devil, not in his story. It's really just a creative. And what the church does, you see, is the church is coming along and is trying to separate you from that creative, entrepreneurial spirit that we're born with, and they want to quench it. And that's why in the story they're trying to come up with a technological means of separating, because this little animal creature is not literally attached, but they can't get very far away from their human counterpart without there being pain and death. They have to be near each other, and so the church is trying to create this really sort of a scientific guillotine to chop off that tie. And that's his way of saying that Christianity simply wants to hold people down.
Let's take a quick call from Daniel in the Twin Cities listening on KKMS and get a response on the other side of the break. Daniel, welcome.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, what's your question or comment?
As a previous caller mentioned, the devil likes to parade around as an angel of light, and I dare say he likes to play God in the same sense. With that in mind, as I listened to Issues, Etc. recently, where the plot of the Golden Compass was discussed, it struck me how the role of, or the character of God was much more like what I would envision the devil. And with that in mind, I got wondering, would it be possible to repurpose the story as an elaborate hoax by Satan to mislead people?
Interesting, Daniel. Very interesting. He's thinking out there. Pastor Stiegelmeyer, when we come back from this break, I want your response to that. I'm going to give you the break to think it over when we come back 10 more minutes with Pastor Scott Stiegelmeyer, Director of Admissions at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of Questions and Answers about Philip Pullman's The Golden Compass, reviewing the film and talking about it, and the trilogy from which it is drawn by Philip Pullman called His Dark Materials, tonight on Issues, Etc. When we come back, we'll answer the question from Daniel, and we'll take more of your phone calls. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, talking about The Golden Compass tonight on Issues, Etc., coming to you live this Sunday, December the 9th. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. An answer to Daniel's question after this. Why do future pastors need to know Hebrew and Greek? Here's what Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Reed Lessing had to say.
It's important that we teach students to study the Bible in their original languages. This is of the utmost importance that our pastors can preach and teach from the Hebrew and Greek scriptures so that they can give a winsome and true and powerful and clear message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Have you ever considered studying for the pastoral ministry? Check out our homepage, issuesetc.org, and look for information on Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne, preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century. Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne and Concordia Seminary St. Louis. IssuesETC.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
As we approach the end of 2007, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. This worldwide outreach is listener-supported. We're not affiliated with the Lutheran Hour or the Lutheran Layman's League. You can donate by credit card, our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. By check, write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, anyone who contributes $50 or more to Issues Etc. before the end of the year will receive a CD of a Christmas sermon I preached titled When the Time Had Fully Come. 1-800-737-0172, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or issuesetc.org. This is Todd Wilkin. Thanks for your support this year. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. 10 minutes left with Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer talking about the Golden Compass movie that opened Friday. Okay, Daniel's on the line before, and he said, look, as he looks at the character of God in the trilogy of Philip Pullman's, it looks more like what we know of Scripture of the devil, someone masquerading as the deity who is, in fact, a weak and venal kind of a character. He asks, could we repurpose the story to work against Philip Pullman's original intent, perhaps the subsequent book? What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's a clever idea, and I wish him the best of luck on that project. I hope that he can do something like that or even better. If the God character, well, you see, to be completely accurate, the character that is identified as God, it turns out, they find out he's not omnipotent, all-present, eternal. He is, in fact, simply identified, finally, as a mighty angel. So that way, he sort of is like the devil. But if that character is to be called the devil, then there is no God at all. I mean, because there is no other in his world. The only governing spiritual authority, to use his word, is this being, whatever we call it. And, it's a completely godless world.
Linda's listening in Garden City, Kansas, which is, by the way, the origin of all things Wilkin. Both my parents were born and raised at or near Garden City, Kansas, dear to my heart. She listens on KKCV. Hi, Linda.
Hello.
Hi, Linda. Welcome. What's your question or comment?
I was listening to him whenever he was talking about preteens and teens, you know, reading these books. And I wasn't getting a real positive yes or no. My grandson has them on his list for Christmas, and I was just wondering if that's something that we should buy for him.
That's a good basic question, Linda. Thank you. Pastor Stiegemeyer.
Well, I'm not trying to be evasive. I think that it's not possible to give a one-size-fits-all answer. I guess, when in doubt, you should just not. If you want me to say yes or no, I would say no, and instead give him something similar but better. I think that the Chronicles of Narnia, a good example, and the Middle Earth from Tolkien, his works. But if your grandson is familiar with those and wants something else, I'm not the expert on what's good in terms of fantasy literature. I don't know how old your grandson is. If he's a young lad of 11 or 12, I think it's probably a good idea to try and steer him away from it. If he's 16, you can not give him the books, but if he wants to read them, he's going to read them. I think that whether you give him the books or not, it's important to help him understand. If he wants to read them, he will read them. Unless you just lock him into a cellar. He will read these books if he wants to, sometime. So it is a much better strategy to educate him and help him to understand and help him to be a discerning person. We do have this instinct to just want to shield our children, and I think that's a very wholesome instinct, and I share it. And sometimes that is exactly what we must do. But there are other times when, you know, for their own benefit, they need to kind of get some exposure to some of the ideas that are out there, not so that they can be cast into doubt, but that they can learn better how to defend their faith and also explain it to the world.
Linda, hang on the line, and I'm going to send you a copy of the book from Tony Watkins, who we had on earlier, Dark Matters, for your own education, not necessarily for the kids, but for your own education on Pullman's trilogy, and give you better insights into making that decision for the Christmas gift. So hang on the line there, Linda, and thank you very much for the call. So the long and the short of it is, we have perhaps an opportunity here to talk more generally, Pastor Stiegemeier, about what's going to be a perennial challenge to parents, to grandparents, to young Christians, and to really all of us. We talked earlier about being in this culture, but never being completely at home. How does the Christian position himself where he says, look, I want to have nothing to do with evil, but I do have to know how to respond to these things. And if someone approaches me and asks me, what do you think about the Golden Compass? I don't want to have to say, you know, all I know is that it was a movie out there and I never saw it and I have no real response to it, if they have questions born from watching that movie or reading the books.
Right. I think that we can learn something from the example of the Apostle Paul. He appears to have, from a couple of citations in his epistles and from a sermon that he delivers in the book of Acts, Paul, who was a Pharisee, he was a Hebrew, he was an educated man, he was a Roman citizen, he was a worldly man in that sense, a man of the world. And but he appears to have had a rather wide education. He appears to have read, well, we know, I mean, he quotes pagan poetry a couple of times in his epistles that are in the New Testament. He quotes pagan poetry and does so also in his sermon on Mars Hill. Now, how did he come to be able to do that? He didn't read it on a website. He must have either read the material, and in case of the play that he cites, I think it's more likely that he saw it. I don't know that it was easy to just read the manuscript for dramatic presentations. Now, what do we learn from that? I mean, Paul doesn't tell us that we can just, oh, well, then we can just attend any movie and read any book and it's okay. No, we have to have standards, and there are certain things that have no artistic value and are just work on the worst traits of men. But there is something valuable, at least just speaking from our mission imperative, our goal of making disciples of all nations, of knowing the literature, of knowing the presuppositions and the hopes and the ambitions and aspirations of the people who are not believers. Not everybody has been raised in the church, and more that is the case, even in our own land. And we can do one of two things. We can become like the Amish, and we can seclude ourselves and develop sort of our own culture, which will end up just being weird and won't be really preaching anything and proclaiming anything. There's not a whole lot of people flocking to join the Amish. Or we can, I suppose, one other extreme would be that we could just have no discernment at all. But I think we need to have the golden middle there and say, well, you know, let's be aware. Let's enjoy what is good. Luther at one point says that he really enjoyed the Aesop's fables. You know, Aesop was a good pagan. And, I mean, I think there's something that we can gain from reading the works of non-believers, Mark Twain, and, just in terms of appreciating them as works of art. But I think they can also give us an insight as evangelists. It can give us an insight into the thinking and the mentality of people who are not raised in the same environment that many of us have been raised in.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free copy of the Next Issues, Etc. journal. You can also use that number to make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. No gift is too small. For a gift of $50 or more before the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of one of my Christmas sermons. 1-800-737-0172. You can also sign up online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. You can write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer is Director of Admission at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of Questions and Answers about Philip Pullman's The Golden Compass. Scott, thanks for being our guest, and the best to you and yours up there in Fort Wayne, especially for the Advent and Christmas season.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and God's blessings to you as well.
We can't be mere consumers of the culture. You can't get away from culture. We're producers of it, we're part of it, and we're in it whether we like it or not. We don't have the convenience of choosing what culture we live in. God has put us here and now to live before Him in faith and serve our neighbor in love. But we cannot hold the culture to a higher standard than the church. And don't do it. Don't hold the culture or Hollywood to a higher standard than your church. It's right to criticize Philip Pullman's trilogy because it reduces Christianity to a caricature of itself, which is nothing more than mere morality. Restrictive morality that tries to control what people think or do. But think about it for a moment, lest you hold the culture to a higher standard than your own church. What do you hear in your church on Sunday morning? Are you really, truly hearing the message that is the beating heart of the church's life, Jesus Christ, who lived as your substitute, who suffered at the cross and died for you? I'm talking about every Sunday. Are you hearing Christ and Him crucified for you, a sinner, and for a world of sinners every Sunday? Or are you hearing more what Philip Pullman thinks you're hearing? Mere morality, just an enforcement of a morality, either a little higher or a little lower standard, depending on the church. The church ought to boldly confess Christ in answer to what those like Philip Pullman say the church is doing. Let's answer with Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection for us. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc.